This is episode 133, recorded on November 8th, 2013. Packard pokes at. Pull your big foot out of your ass, Copeland.
Do you really like Packard Pokes At and want to promote the show? Then go to cafepress.com/PackardPokesAt. There are hundreds of items available, including hats, shirts, hoodies, and so much more. Every purchase from cafepress.com/PackardPokesAt helps support the show. Your Packard Pokes At coffee mug is waiting for you.
Do you want to stream Packard Pokes At on your iPhone or BlackBerry? Download Stitcher free today at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
You're on in 3, 2, 1.
This is Packard Pokes At, and I'm poking at your news.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another fine edition of Packard Pokes At. I am your immutable and unmutable host, Packard Sonic. And joining us tonight from the far east coast is Joe Unseen.
A modern day warrior, mean stride. Today's Tom Sawyer,
mean pride. I love that song. It's one of my favorites. And joining us from the far east coast, or no, west coast rather, is from the far west coast, is Connie Practical Magic 9.
Together again.
Yes.
It's good to be together again. What? Oh, sorry. Missed that note.
That's good okay. Movie. By the way, I don't usually announce these right at the beginning of the show, but I'm going to start doing it now. Last week's episode was 132, and on the audio podcast recording, I said it was 123. I kind of mixed up my numbers when I was recording it, and I didn't catch it right away. So this is episode 132. No, 33, rather. So
32, 33, whatever it takes.
It's over 100. So, by the way, speaking of new things, we have something very special we're going to be doing from now on. We now have a voicemail number for you to call and leave voicemails for us. Now, long distance rates may apply on this, but the number is right below on your screen. And if you're listening to this as a podcast, the number is 662-709-PPAP or 662-709-7727. So be sure to call and leave comments, and we'll play those here on the show. Okay, with that out of the way, let's get to our first topic for this evening.
Building a better future, science and technology.
While there may be over 7 billion people on the planet Earth today, over 7 billion people, out in the galaxies, just in our galaxy here, we have 8.8 million possible planets out there that could support life and in the habitable zone. This is so fucking cool. 8.8 billion planets. I mean, this is... this is fucking awesome.
Now we each have our own planet.
Yes, we could. Every one of us could have our own planet with plenty to spare, and you could give them away to your kids as gifts.
Mine would be better than yours, though.
Oh, they'll just play with the box. You know that.
Yeah. I'm just gonna play with the mountains a little bit. You know. So yeah, this is really cool. Maybe we can leave the fundies behind. No, I'm just kidding. no, the cool thing is that all these planets, these 8.8 billions of planets that are out there, they are Earth-sized and in a habitable zone, which is the known as the Goldilocks zone. So Earth could be just one of so many. So those people out there who believe that God only created one planet in the whole universe that was just made just for us, well, science has proven you wrong again. Joe, your thoughts?
Yeah, this survey is based on a cross-section of our galaxy. Mm-hmm. They counted the percentage of the stars that have planets and figured out the percentage that have Earth-like planets in their parent star's habitable zone. And then they applied that percentage to the whole of the galaxy. And this wasn't possible until they got solid data on that cross-section, which they now have. Now, we've probably heard of the Drake equation.
Mm-hmm.
They mention it kind of in the movie Contact. That is N equals the number of civilizations in our galaxy which communications might be possible. And to find that number, we need to average out the rate of star formation in the galaxy, the fraction of those stars that have planets, the average number of planets that can potentially support life.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a few more things, the fraction of planets that could support life, it actually develop at some point, so on and so forth. Now, what this data does is it, like, we already kind of know the rate of star formation because we can see, like half the galaxy
mm-hmm.
from where we are. And
yeah, the other half is taken behind the shower curtain because it's changing right now.
Well, it's on the other side of the galactic hub. But given that our half is probably like the other half, which it probably is.
Yeah, we're the evil half.
the dark side.
The dark side of half, the galaxy.
So we know the first variable in this equation. This data shows that we now know the second and third variables.
Yes.
Now, I don't know if we're going to get any further on the Drake equation because, like, some of these, you know, like the very next one, like I said, is the fraction of planets that could support life and actually develop life at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's something we might not never know because unless we can figure out a way to detect life or signs of life from really, really far away.
Right.
Then I don't think that one could be answered.
Well, you know what they need to do is they just need to hire the NSA, and then we'll find out right away.
Right. Yeah. They know everything.
Planet 62A is, they're talking about us. Uh-huh. Okay.
But, I mean, you can never say never when it comes to science.
That's right.
Less than 20 years ago, we only knew of one solar system in the universe, and that mm-hmm. was ours.
Right.
And then they figured out how to detect planets. And then they detected the first Earth-like planet in a habitable zone.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, now the numbers are crazy. They know of hundreds of planets and
yep.
and tens of Earth-like planets. It's crazy the amount of data that they've been able to amass once they figured out how to collect it.
Right. And it says here, for the first time, scientists calculated, not estimated, what percentage of the stars are out there that are like that have suns like ours and similar Earths. At 22% with a margin of error of plus or minus 8% points, which
exactly.
is, you know, that's huge. Right. Still, even 22% for the galaxy or mm-hmm. the universe even? That's just this galaxy. Let me clarify that. They're talking that's just this galaxy. That's not the whole universe. And over in the universe alone, there are billions of galaxies out there. So mm-hmm. you just take that number and multiply that by whatever number you want to come up with. You know, it's just right. amazing.
Until now, it was a guess, but now they actually have data.
Yes, they do. Connie, your thoughts?
I couldn't help but think I was hearing Carl Sagan's voice when I was reading this article.
Billions and billions.
The Mr. Rogers of the science world. And, you know, there are more Earth-like planets than there are people on Earth was the thing that I read there. And I thought that was astounding. Of course, it doesn't necessarily mean that there's atmosphere, and that mm-hmm. for them to discover atmosphere, we need more powerful telescopes that
yeah.
have yet to be launched.
Right.
Another point of that, this is not the time to back off on deep space exploration.
No.
And even then, to be able to ascertain what exactly is on these other planets, you know, the idea that we need to go and get out there and actually view them. It's so exciting, though.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree. I love that they said this is the first time. It's not just an estimation. This is a calculation.
Yes.
And so, yeah, extremely exciting. And I've heard, too, that this is not just this is only based on the suns like our sun.
Mm-hmm.
It's not based on red dwarfs. Now, I admit, I think red dwarf is just a BBC TV show.
I went there too.
So, but it is a particular kind of sun which may also, you know, support life on another planet. And I did not research it anymore.
Well, red dwarf is a dying star. But
okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah. How exciting is this? Science for the win yet again.
Yes, absolutely, mm-hmm. absolutely. This is so great. And Joe put it right there. He said, now we have enough planets for everybody.
And someplace to send our garbage.
That's right.
Hey, we'll send Sweden first. They know how to.
Yes, they do. They don't. Yes.
I claim this special planet in the name of Sweden.
That's right.
Planet Sweden. Well, if we only if everybody gets one, then, you know, that's going to get pretty lonely, especially unless we set up like special tin cans from each. No, never mind. I don't think talking on tin cans and string will work in space. Anyway. Talking about space, let's get on to our next topic for this evening.
Well,
I'm not the brightest crayon in the box.
If you're going to be hunting soon, there is a lot of things you can hunt for at this time of the year. Deer is the most popular one, either gun hunting or bow hunting. This time of the year is not the time to go out Bigfoot hunting. I'm serious. Don't go Bigfoot hunting. The reason I bring that up, these three guys out in Oklahoma, one of them got shot. And instead of, you know, coming clean and say, hey, it was just an accident, the guy said, oh, we're out Bigfoot hunting. And the guy ended up, one of the guys ended up getting shot. It went through his back and it came out through his stomach. What happened was they're outside and they said they heard a noise and he got startled and he turned around and he shot his buddy accidentally. But one of the people who were involved in this went to jail because he was a felon and he was not supposed to have a gun. And he dumped it in the river or the lake or whatever. So the cops had to go and retrieve that too. It's just a whole lot of wrong. But the thing was, if they just come clean and say, hey, you know, it was an accident. No one would have gotten arrested. But they said, oh, we're out hunting for Bigfoot. Come on. You'd have a better chance of catching an honest Republican, honestly. Joe, your thoughts?
Yeah, Bigfoot hunters are like ghost hunters. Mm-hmm. It's all very, very silly. I think all Bigfoot hunters should play in the forest at night with guns, especially around each other. Heck, let's do team on team. They can bring the ghost hunters with them.
Yes.
just give them all guns, put them in the woods, and be like, all right, guys, you know, make sure to stay really far away.
Blindfold them.
Well, then they'll miss.
Oh.
But, yeah, I mean, this was an unfortunate incident. All accidental shootings are. And as you mentioned, they lied to the cops and got themselves arrested. I'm not convinced either that they were really looking for Bigfoot. I think that might have just been part of their cover story.
Yeah, it was.
But, I mean, they were hunting for Bigfoot in Oklahoma. Everyone knows the real Bigfoot is not in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
He's out by Connie. In Washington State, you know.
Yeah. There's actually, I traveled down through Illinois one time, and there's actually, when I was very young, there's actually a city down there named Bigfoot. So they should have just gone to Illinois, and they would have found it. Oh,
they can hunt the New Jersey Devil, and they can hunt the Chupacabra.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
They actually, you know, in That's Oklahoma, right. They're closer to Chupacabra territory.
Yes.
You know, especially during migration season. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The great Chupacabra migration.
The Chupacabra hang out with the Republicans.
I can imagine the look on the cop's face. They're like, we were hunting Bigfoot. And he's like, you idiots. It's Chupacabra season.
No, it's Bigfoot season. No, it's Chupacabra season.
It's duck season. Wabbit season.
I was going for that, actually. Kind of your thoughts.
I want to apologize right now as a Washingtonian for the entirety of the Bigfoot thing. I just, mm-hmm. Everybody.
It's all
right
your
now,
fault.
No. I know. Well, I think that we have so many Norwegians up here that have just really hairy heritage that, you know, that's all we've been seeing.
I see one. I see one here in Wisconsin when I go do my job. I see it walking down the street. No, I'm just kidding. It's probably some. It's just a lady with a big ass coat. Never mind.
Well, they talked about they heard a sound, you know, mm-hmm. and they went out to look at it. And so I'm like, what are those sounds? I went to Animal Planet, which is embarrassing because Animal Planet used to be actually a fun show. I only had cable once in my life, and it was really a fun, you know, kind of science-based show for kids, you know, a lot of good station. Now it's all this Ghost Hunter and History Channel, you know, and the Bigfoot Squatch hunters, which mm-hmm. is, I guess, a term, an industry term, which is like means it's a verb, it's a noun, it's an adjective, it's a squatchy sound. So what do they sound like? And I found a video, and I'll be darned, I couldn't download it. But this one guy says, well, sometimes they make a high-pitched scream like a woman being murdered in the woods.
I've heard of that, yeah.
And long, mournful howls, which are siren-like.
Right.
But this one, they said they growls.
Were, yes, and but this one, they said they heard barking noises. Or barking noise, that sounds like a dog to me.
Well, and I'm sure it was a dog or a woman being hurt in the woods or a bunch of men grumbling at each other because they're out there hunting for Bigfoot and they forgot their flashlight.
Oh, I forgot the flashlight. Yeah. Fuck, where the hell is the flashlight? Who forgot? Who's the one that started this party? God damn it.
And who knew? Evidently, Bigfoot whistles, too, so...
The star
and they rap on trees. I guess they're playing.
Yeah, they whistle the Star Spangled Banner and
so
and they go out, you know.
Well, and they cling to the fact that Jane Goodall, the you know the gorilla expert, she said, you know, well there might be something to this, and I'm going, oh please don't humor them, you know.
I used to believe in this Bigfoot when I was a kid, but I grew up.
Yeah, well. The only Bigfoot I believe in is Arn Ra, and he is Bigfoot.
So. although, to be honest, to be completely fair to the Bigfoot hunters out there, okay, a little bit. We are discovering new animals several times a year, actually. So
that's true.
If there is something out there, maybe it will be found someday. Maybe. I don't know. But I have no evidence right now to say that there is none for sure, but it's a big planet. We are finding new animals out there. There's
and things that we thought were extinct.
Yes, exactly. So, yeah. Look at this. Just to go back just 20 years, or no, 30 years, 40 years, the coelacanth that came out, and they thought that animal was dead, gone, but they found it. So
yeah, but this is different than an animal that might be extinct or hasn't been discovered yet. I mean, Bigfoot was invented by a guy. I don't know his name offhand, but he passed away like 15 years ago.
You mean the guy with the video
No.
Or
it was before that.
Really?
He was a construction worker working with a road crew, and he made either out of wood or plaster or something these fake Bigfoot feet. He made footprints in the mud to trick his coworkers, and supposedly that's how the Bigfoot legend got going.
Really? I did not know that.
Eric Shipton or Ray Wallace. Both of them created footprints.
Oh, really?
I'm just looking at the article right now. In 1951, Eric Shipton, and then somebody else, Ray Wallace. So,
course, when it got big in the 70s and the 80s, when they were making those stupid Bigfoot shows, and they would make up all these stories, like these pioneers who were in part of the gold rush, like were in their cabin, and they spent all night getting hit with rocks from the Bigfoot, and... You know, and the Native Americans believed in Sasquatch, and it's like, well, did they really? I mean, I thought this all started in the 50s with these construction workers.
Well, the Native Americans, especially here in the Northwest, they did have some legends about a big creature, but as far as I'm concerned, it could just as likely have been some kind of a bear, a mangy bear, which is, again,
bears,
chupacabra is. You know, it's a mangy coyote or goat or something.
Well, bears are because some bears can stand up and they can walk on their hind legs, and the brown bear especially. So they could be mistaken for a Bigfoot, especially, you know, seeing it at a distance, you know. So
well, and if one of those Native Americans young men is out on his spirit walk and he hasn't eaten for 40 days, you know, you might start seeing funny things too. So.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Of course.
Yeah. So, but I'm just saying, the possibility, it's an animal that... It's a big country. There's a lot of places that things can hide, but...
Somebody would have hit one with their car right now.
I don't know. I don't know. I'm just saying it's a...
We hit everything else with our cars.
They would have eaten it first, though, up here. That would have been all said, oh, dang.
Hey, can I have some squash sticks? My plate's running a little low over here.
I was looking at a slideshow of Bigfoot images before the show, and there was like these people holding up plaster feet, and there was of course screenshots from all those faked videos of like guys in gorilla suits, all fuzzy and out of focus, walking through the woods. And there was a lot of pictures in this slideshow of what looked like big muddy handprints on car windows. And that's of course could be easily faked. All you need to do is get like a washcloth, dip it in the mud, and like sort of draw hands on your car window. But it there were so many of them. I was like, wow, Bigfoot has like a fascination with fucking up people's cars.
Yeah,
he's trying to figure out how to get inside. What's in the box.
He was looking inside to see maybe
where do you put the quarter.
He was probably looking at the window, going, I could take that car stereo, go good in my cave.
He's like, this is the new model. I like the Fender. I bet it gets good mileage.
They're fogging up the window in there. What are they doing in that backseat? These creatures are weird.
Yes. And they want your car stereo.
Oh, I like that. Bose. That's a good one.
Yes.
The Northwestern woods are a bad area. So.
Yes. Anyway, speaking of bad areas, let's get on to our next topic for the series, Gene.
Don't know much about history. Don't know much biology. Don't know much about a science book.
Tonight, we're going to be talking about David Barton and a video that Right Wing Channel on YouTube had captured. Unfortunately, as of either today, November 8th, or in this week, Right Wing Watch Channel was shut down and terminated. I look forward to them coming back. They had been attacked by false DMC attacks, and so a lot of the crazy stuff that people out there have been talking about, it's not going to be seen unless, you know, it's taken on by another channel. But we were very fortunate to get a clip from them, and we're going to be talking about this clip tonight. And we're going to be talking about David Barton, and he says, it's not global warming, it's the judgment of God. So we're going to play that clip now.
You open that door, floods are under the curse. Tornadoes are under the curse. Murderers, pedophiles, all of these things, all of that's under the curse. Abortion was a seed to it that has grown into a murderous, bloody crop of child death. And it doesn't stop with abortion. It goes on. Man, hey, all ages.
Thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And whether that killing is through abortion or drugs or suicide or anything else, you open the door to killing. It's got a lot of different manifestations, but that's the problem. If you choose leaders who say, oh, I support killing, come, we've opened the door to all of it. You got the whole thing. When a nation does something bad, it gets judgment or it gets blessing right now in the present. On the spot.
Yes, sir.
Which is why policies matter. Because if you take a bad policy, you get judged for it on the spot. If you take a good policy, you get blessed for it on the spot.
David, storms and hurricanes and unimaginable murders and mass murders and all of that doesn't just happen.
It doesn't just happen. A door has been opened and we have said, you know, we embrace a wicked policy. Okay, then I'll take my hand of protection off your nation, and whap, here comes storms like we've never seen before, and here comes floods like, and here comes the climate stuff that we can't explain, all the hot times and all the cold times, and too much rain and not enough rain, and we're flooding over here, and we got droughts over here. And you know, back in the early America days, when something like that happened, first thing they did was issue a call for a national prayer day of repentance, humiliation,
yes,
fasting, and prayer.
Yes.
We have screwed up somewhere. We've got to get God's help to get blessings back on this nation. And they would humble themselves before God. And today we're saying, oh, no, it's global warming. That's what, no. We opened a door that lost God's protection over our environment. And that's our choice.
David Copeland and them, they say, well, if you open the door to killing, then take God's protection comes off you and all this stuff, and it's a curse. Oh my God, what fucktardery is this? I'm sorry, I have no other words for it, but it's a fucktardery thing. First off, if you actually read the Bible, God says, oh, kill these people. But if anybody else does it on their own or whatever, for the reasons we have to blame abortion, oh, come on, whatever. All right, we're going to put the time up. The timer's right there, and we're going to start with Connie. Timer starts now.
Well, when I was trying to find this video again, I was looking it back, and this isn't the first time Barton and Kenneth Copeland have had this discussion. I was very curious how they could make this claim that abortion was doing this. And Barton, because he deems himself as a historian, he says, well, America was founded on the idea of, you know, the natural world is found in its creator, and he automatically assumes that this is God, as in the God of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
His reasoning about abortion dealt from when he goes out on his ranch and he looks around, he looks for to nature, not just the Bible, for his philosophy. And he said, well, in nature, there's no wild thing that aborts an unborn child. And so it's unnatural, and that's the same, you know, he tries to claim also that, you know, he doesn't have to prove that he needs to defend himself, mm-hmm. the Second Amendment, because you know, if you look around in nature, a mama bear will defend its baby bear, and you know, if you attack me, then I have the right to be. He stumbles when he says homosexuality. And the only reason I bring all of this up is because it's not just about it's not just about abortion. All of these things they see are policies brought on by our leaders. And there's another thing, and that's why we are seeing judgment. That's why we see all these storms. It's mm-hmm. not global warming.
It's not global warming.
He says to the that are, you know, they quote the Bible, say, if you have good leaders, they will not be seeking to have power over the people or money and influence. And that's a sign of a good leader. And I was just gobstopped this whole time. I'm going, you don't understand how hypocritical everything you're saying is. It's just so stupid.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, when he said that this judgment is that these things are our judgment, I'm going, okay, so there's no Christians praying right now.
Mm-hmm.
So why was there Hurricane Sandy last year? You know, are you trying to say that there's not enough people praying? Why did this happen?
Oh, yeah.
Are we saying that the pilgrims that first landed here didn't pray enough, that they weren't pleasing God enough, and that's why, you know, more than half of them starved within that first hard winter?
Oh, they forget about that stuff. So they forget about that kind of stuff. The his historic stuff. Like, oh, they made it through the winter and everything. They didn't lose a single person. You know.
Well, he tries to claim that modern history books are revisionist when they're not idolizing all of our, you know, our history, all of the things that happened before. And the fact is that now we have more complete writings and books, and we're able to mm-hmm. look at them more objectively. We're not just blindly following leaders and gods. All and right.
I think
so.
I tell you honestly, I think with these people, they want us to go back to a time when we were, you know, I would say less sophisticated, so they mm-hmm. can be in charge, so they can be the ones saying, oh, well, this is happening because of God said, and this is, and that's happening because God said, and you're not doing the right thing, so you need to pray more, and you need to give me your money.
Well, they love to say that the wise people are fools.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Over and over again.
Yeah, that's because they don't understand what they're talking about. Well, he's a fool, because he talking big words and don't make no sense to me with my tiny little brain, whore. You know. But Joe, your thoughts? Joe?
Shit, sorry, I was muted.
Okay.
Oh, jeez.
I was actually saying something. I mean, in this video, here they go again, blaming weather on what they consider immorality.
Mm-hmm.
The hurricane is God's punishment for gays. That's why hurricanes and tornadoes often ravage the Bible Belt.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, the logic doesn't make sense. If bad weather is God's punishment, then why did God just send one of the most powerful typhoons in the history of the world barreling down on the Philippines,
mm-hmm.
which is a country that is 90% Christian?
Mm-hmm.
There is no typhoon slamming into Amsterdam, okay? There's
right.
no typhoons hitting Las Vegas.
That's right.
You know, like...
And Pat Robertson said, those people there, the hurricanes, God doesn't send hurricanes unless I say they do, you know.
He says that that God sends the hurricanes, but God doesn't have control over the tornadoes when they smash churches.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, oh,
well,
okay.
I guess if God doesn't have control, then he's obviously not all-powerful. I don't know. That's just my
right.
take on it. But
right.
We have about 2 minutes left. Go ahead, Joe. I'm sorry.
I don't have a whole lot more to say on this. I mean, these two guys, they seem pretty idiotic.
Yeah. Just to go a little ad hominem on David there, he looks like Howdy Doody kind of got really old. And, you know. if Howdy Doody was real and got really old and decrepit, that's what he would look like. Mm-hmm. Connie, do you have any other thoughts on this? We have about a minute and a half left.
I spent 3 hours watching videos of them this morning. I want that time back. I'd rather watch Titanic again. Okay. the double thinking that they have across the board was just mind bending.
Mm-hmm.
And again, their solution is if we would just humble ourselves and pray, if we, you know, and that all these so called smart science people don't know what they're talking about, but you know, they're so filled with themselves. They say that, you know, when you look at socialism is one of the reasons that our country is becoming socialist. They went all over the map. In every video I was like, they're blaming all of the things that go wrong on everything that is, you know, God's trying to turn us around, and it's because we're so proud of ourselves and we want to put nature above mankind when mankind's supposed to dominate it. And it's a special kind of crazy.
Oh, yeah.
And I needed a drink way too early in the morning this morning. But that's okay.
Yeah.
I lived. And I'm just sickened. Well, I used to listen to this crap.
Yeah, I think these people drink before they go on the show. What kind of crazy thing? I don't know. Let me get my whiskey out. Hurricane. Nope, nothing in the hurricane about the Bible about hurricane and curses. Well, we'll make some shit up. They'll never know the difference.
Well, like I said, my favorite thing. Oh, yay.
Oh, good.
Time.
Yay. She's like, yay, time.
Time. First time everybody's been happy that timer's gone off. But yeah, these people are just.
Where was that this morning? Yeah.
Yeah.
Where's my timer?
These people are just fucking crazy. Don't listen to these people. If you're out there and you're listening to these people, do yourself a favor. Don't watch anything else. Hell, watch Will and Grace. I don't even say it repeats. I think it is now. But watch
it's on Nick at Night.
Yeah, there you go. Watch it. That. Watch anything else. Go watch a cartoon. It'll probably have more better information than these bozos. And that's made up. It clearly is made up.
More cause and effect in a Roadrunner cartoon.
Yes, absolutely.
That's right.
Just better. There's better physics in that cartoon like that. Anyway, let's get on with our next topic for this evening.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars. Let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars.
And tonight, did you know they're an atheist? Tonight we're going to be talking about Geddy Lee from Rush.
Letters in the air.
If you've never heard of Geddy Lee and you've never heard of Rush, you are missing out on some damn good music. Geddy Lee was born in July 29th, 1953. He's a bassist, singer, and frontman for the band Rush. He also talks about the song Faithless, lyrics by Neil Peart, and a video documentary from MVI.
Neil Peart.
What's that?
Neil Peart.
Peart?
Yeah.
Peart? Okay.
Peart. Neil Peart, it's their drummer. He writes all their songs.
Okay.
Lyrics to their songs.
Okay. Neil Peart, in a video documentary from the MVI edition of their album Snakes and Arrows back in 2007, identifies the lyrics and seems to be okay with being described as an atheist for it. I'll give you a link. It'll be at PackardPokesHit.wordpress.com. There's a lot here to read. But in a Hebe magazine interview from March of 2009, Lee explicitly states that he is an atheist. He says, quote, "I consider myself a Jew as a race, but not so much as a religion. I'm not down with religion at all. I'm a Jewish atheist, if that's possible. I celebrate the holidays in a sense that my family gets together for the holidays, and I like being part of that. So I observe the getting together aspect," unquote. So right there, he says that he's an atheist. He's a Jewish atheist, and that's very common. A lot of Jewish, and we've talked about this before on the show, that Jews will take and keep their traditions, and they say it as a race, and they just keep it as like they're two separate entities. You can be Jewish, atheist.
It's a race, a nation, and a religion.
Right, exactly.
So you can be born Jewish, and you can be Jewish but not be religious.
Right, exactly. Yeah, we've talked about this on the show. I forget things occasionally, but Joe, your thoughts?
Yeah, I used to listen to Rush, but I stopped paying attention a long time ago, and so I never listened to their newer stuff. And as you mentioned, the song Faithless came off their 2007 album, and so I looked up the song on YouTube, and I found a really nice live concert version where they played it in Cleveland. And I found another version with the actual lyrics on the screen. And not only is the chorus of the song, which is mentioned in this article, critical of faith and belief, the song itself is a big statement about and against religion. In the live clip I watched, they showed many crowd shots of the diehard Rush fans singing along to the song, mouthing every word.
Wow.
About faith and belief. And so I thought that was kind of neat.
I just hope they understand what it is that they're singing, you know, because I used to drive many years ago. I don't do this anymore. I used to drive school bus. I had a radio installed in the bus, and I'd play certain songs. And there's this one song that came on, and these kids were behind me to talk about, hey, that's a cool song. I said, you guys do know what the song's about? No. It's about divorce. Oh, it's about a little kid going through his parents getting divorced. It's really actually a sad song. Oh, and they listened to it. I was like, oh, wow, really it is. Oh, so, you know, it makes me wonder if these people that were in this concert.
Fans of Rush, the Rush lyrics are very, like, they can be very deep and they can have hidden meanings in them. And so the fans of Rush's music, they typically dissect the lyrics and pull them apart, like poetry and stuff. So.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying as a personal observation, kind of your thoughts.
Well, I had never heard Rush before, and it's like a lot of things that I find myself catching up on. I was surprised how far back they go, because I was just, you know, in high school when they were starting, and so I loved listening to some of their music. I found a very funny interview with Getty on Classic Rock. It's a magazine, and one of the questions they said, have you ever used the phrase, do you know who I am? And Getty says, yes, every morning when I see my wife. Mm-hmm. But
you remember who I am, honey? Uh-huh. Yeah. I don't know. Are you the milkman?
They asked if he was ever, like, you know, awed by somebody he met, and it was Pete Townsend of The Who, because Pete Townsend inspired him to write when he was a teen. And some of the funnier videos I saw were they had an appearance, a quote-unquote appearance on South Park and in the episode Royal Pudding. And then when they have their concert live in Holland, they have the South Park kids playing Tom Sawyer and, of course, Cartman's screwing up the
I love
the
Tom Sawyer. That's one of my favorites right there.
So I loved Subdivisions, which... I love songs that are very layered with meaning in their lyrics, and the imagery too in the video was really awesome. Mm-hmm. And the other thing I would say about Rush is I love how they play with the rhythms.
Oh yeah.
And I'm just awestruck. I'm awed by how many things they do. There's only three people in this band, and they're playing and doing everything. And especially Getty, you know, he's got all of the stuff he's doing in the concert. He's doing, like, the chimes or the keyboards, and then he has the bass. And in this Xanadu, which was, there were no roller skating muses in sight, that both, I'm sorry, I can't think of the guitar player's name.
Oh,
I apologize. Okay. But him and Getty are playing double neck guitar and a double neck bass.
Oh, that's
I was
cool.
Just like, that is so
a
cool.
A bunch of show-offs.
Yeah. Oh, I was drooling.
Also, if you ever heard of Bob and Doug McKenzie.
Oh, yes.
And they had a segment where they have Geddy Lee from Rush come on, and they sing the song, Take Off. And it's a very funny song. So if you get a chance to, you know, check that out too, it's it's out there. But anyway, there's a lot of songs that they've written that are really good stuff. But in the meantime, though, go and check out his stuff. And when you're hearing that great music and you're hearing Geddy Lee sing, he is another prominent atheist out there. And he is just, I think he's one of the best out there today. Anyway, we got to get going, though. But if you want to contact us, we're going to give you all that information right now.
Would you like to contact us? Your host, Packard Sonic, and his very honored and crazy co-host, with occasional guest hosts, enjoy your comments or suggestions. You can reach us 28 hours a day, 8 days a week, on A Can on a String, Smoke Signals, Star Trek Communicator. Those may not work, but you can contact us on Twitter as PackardPokesAt and by email at PackardPokesAt@gmail.com. You can also listen and join in the conversation live Friday nights at 9 p.m. Central Time on VaughnLive.tv/PackardPokesAt. You can find past shows on iTunes, YouTube, Mixlr Radio, and Stitcher Radio. Help us out by rating, commenting, subscribing, retweeting, and reposting the show wherever you can. Click the like button on Facebook/PackardPokesAt to join in the conversation. Would you like to help keep the show running and pick up some awesome Packard Pokesat merchandise? Visit cafepress.com/PackardPokesAt today and buy hats, shirts, or one of over 300 other items that are also available. Visit PackardPokesAt.wordpress.com for links to the news articles covered tonight and more information on this or other episodes. We hope you enjoy the show. Thanks for listening and your support.
And thank you, Joe. Damn, you do a good job at that.
Thank you. I practice all week.
I know you do. And how you time out the graphics just right as you're doing it, you know, throwing them out there, ving, 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 you know, like a master player card. No, anyway. I'm going to tell you one more time, just in case you didn't get the number at the beginning of the show. The phone number for us is 662-709-PPA or 662-709-7727. So give it a call, leave a voicemail, leave something, you know, tell us how good we are, tell us comments, whatever you want to say on there, and we'll play them on the show. Maybe next week if we get a couple of these, or maybe even one, we'll play it.
Ooh, I called the number, play mine.
I don't have it ready right now, but I... You said not to play it, so I didn't play it. But I will.
I don't even remember what it was.
I do.
Well, I'll have to leave a new one then.
Yes, you will. But anyway, thanks everybody for coming. This has been Packer Pokes. We just poked at your news.
And that's a wrap.